Boom, here we go. It is Fat to Fit or Else. I am the Stretch Ari. It is Sunday night as I record this, getting the Monday show on. Walking. I got a lot of walking in this weekend. It was good to walk. It's good to move. Good for the body, good for the brain. Speaking of the brain, I got a study coming up about the mental health of mothers. And not MFers, but mothers, like people who bear children. And it's not good, by the way. It is not good. Kids drive you crazy is what happens. But that's not what the study's about. I'm just making that crap up. I found something where I cross-pollinated, if you will. I did my Bible study podcast already. And it really kind of gave me a point for this podcast today. And in it, I was going through the book of Ezekiel. There's a portion in the book of Ezekiel where God's really mad and he's going to punish Israel greatly. And he says, there's a proverb in the land of Israel that says, the days go by and every vision comes to nothing. And that is talking about the prophets would all tell people, hey, badness is coming. You better repent. You better, you know, get your act together. Punishment's coming. And then it's so long between that people just kind of, yeah, whatever. And they kind of blow it off and they go to their bad ways. And then punishment comes. Well, how true? And then in that, God says he's going to abolish that from the words, basically from Israel. He's going to show them with his punishment that is coming that they will no longer think like that. The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. He said that is going to be removed from their vernacular, and boy was it, because he was mad. But how much does that apply to our health? I mean, it applies to our spiritual health and our physical health, but on this show we talk about our physical health, and how much do we think, like, you know, day's come, not going to have a heart attack tomorrow. You know, my gut's not going to rupture tomorrow. I'm like, we blow stuff off, and then punishment comes. And we go blow it off. And by punishment, I'm talking diabetes. I'm talking, you know, all the, what wall do I have? But it's all these bad medical conditions come from us thinking that basically, it all, you know, the warnings are here. But they're going to come to nothing. I'm fine. And then you're not fine. And then you're not fine anymore. It's very, I liked it. It really, when I was getting ready to do the show, I'm like, you know what? I need to cross-pollinate. I need to talk about what people did in ancient Israel to what is going on today, because it is incredibly relevant to our overall fitness. And think about it. I'm going to start. I'm just, not this week, you know, I got my birthday, and by the way, it is my birthday week, shout out to me, but you got, and that's what happens, like, all right, I'm going to go on my diet, but I don't want to be on a diet during my birthday, I want to have some cake, I want to do this, and, you know, well, I really don't want to hit the gym, because I have vacation coming up, and I'm not going to lose weight before vacation, so I'm stuck looking fat in a swimsuit. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, because I want to eat through my vacation, and you just, we excuse. We blow it off, and then it bites us in the ass. And another thing that I notice, as I've been, I got an app where I can put a screensaver on my television and just use... It's on Roku, by the way. If you have, it's pretty cool. You make your screensaver, instead of that weird little city they have, you can just screen photos from your phone. And my phone has a plethora of photos, especially ones that go back, at this point, 15 years, some of the photos on my phone. And I seriously can look at those and realize, I always know I'm a fat ass. But when I go back 15 years, I look at some pictures and be like, damn, I look pretty good. And at that time, I thought I was a fat ass. It's like my body's telling myself, you think that's a fat ass? Hold my beer. I'm going to show you a fat ass 15 years from now. But think about that. Cut yourself some slack. Because it can always get worse. So here you are thinking you're a fat ass. Well, right now, in 15 years, you're going to look back at how you look now and be like, damn, I look pretty good. So I have noticed that looking through old pictures. But yeah, that app's pretty cool. It's on the Roku. If you have Roku, it's cool. I've discovered something weird, and I don't know if Spectrum screwed up or what, but we have Spectrum here at the new house or apartment, and it's the only thing available. Like, we're in one of those little bubbles of a neighborhood where that's the only internet you can get around here, Spectrum. So we have that, and it's fine, but our box, basic cable, we have a little box, and they have a streamer box and a cable box, and it's like, all right, cool. And I asked the guy when he installed it, hey, can I put the Spectrum app on my Roku and just watch it through there? And he goes, yeah. And I go, all right, what's the password and the setup? He goes, no. He goes, the Spectrum app will know you're a Spectrum customer, and the second you click on it, it will just log you in. And sure enough, it did. So I put the Spectrum app on my Roku, and then I don't know how, and I don't want to call it. It's like finding money in your bank. We get every channel, every pay channel, every sports channel. I get every channel. We have no channels on our actual box. Literally, we have basic cable, really basic cable, with no premium channels at all. So I'm like, how the hell does that work? I'm like, how do I get every single channel? And I'm not paying anything. I don't have a credit card logged on that thing. I don't know. But pretty cool. If you have Spectrum and you have a Roku, put Spectrum app on it, and I'd love to know if it works for you. But then that's how it's working for me. So that's pretty cool. Oh, man. I had an interesting time on Saturday night. My wife and my daughter went out to dinner, and I did not want to go. They were going to go meet some people, and I'm like, yeah, I want to not go. But then my son called me and was like, hey, I'm like around the corner from your apartment. What are you doing? And we went and had dinner, and he was going to a movie premiere. One of his friends from the TV show Heels he was on was doing a movie with Shia LaBeouf, and they were screening it literally a like quarter mile from my house. So he was over there with his friend watching that. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I watched UFC this weekend, which I haven't done in a while, and something very strange happened that I have never seen happen in all of my years of watching UFC, and that's a very long time. That's a very, very long time. And they were getting ready for the main event, two girl fighters that I'm unfamiliar with. I do not follow it like I used to, and it was two girl fighters and not a pay-per-view, so that they weren't big names, and they were the main event. And they play the what's called the fight intro tape. It's the tape telling the beef that they have, the history of the two fighters, and, well, you know, what's going to happen, and they break it all down. But they played that, and then after that, they walked the fighters to the ring. After that, no one came out, and the fighters were in the tunnel, and then all of a sudden, they went back to the announcers, and they're like, something's going on. We just got word that one of the fighters has a medical and is not going to be able to fight. And you're like, what? Like, the fight didn't happen. They canceled the fight as they were about to step into the ring. And I still don't know what happened. They say it was a medical of one of the girl fighters, but they never showed what it was. I still don't know yet. I'm sure at some point, probably today, that'll come around of what it was. But that was weird. Also got to see all my dogs. Got to hang out with my boy Iceberg this weekend on Friday and Saturday. And then today on Sunday, I got Nova, our German Shepherd, and she went with us once again to the Palisades. I go there now on the weekend, and I get a weed whacker, and I whack, and then I whack. I'm 9. That's funny to me. And then I also have a huge, like, 5-gallon, I guess it would be a bug sprayer, but I just fill it with water, plain water. I've never had anything in it but water, and I go and spray water on my plants there. I did something. Ugh, God, it's so sad. It's always so sad. I was so ecstatic when we found our pug's ashes in the ashes of the house, because we left her in there and it burned and it fell, and there's no way those things should have survived. I mean, the refrigerator disappeared. That tells you how hot the fire was. No food. The freezer was filled with food. The refrigerator was stuffed with food. Think how much crap's in your refrigerator. And it disappeared. Unable to find it. It got that hot. It melted, cooked everything in the refrigerator, and the actual refrigerator disappeared. The one in the kitchen. We found the one that was in the garage, but the one in the kitchen vanished. And then all of a sudden we found a little tin with ashes in it from the living room when everything else was gone. And that was our pug. And our first German Shepherd, Bobo, if you guys remember back, this goes back Jamie and Danny days, I had Bobo. Bobo was the dog that was a brat that went to canine school. He went to a school called California Canine Academy. And they taught that dog to be freaking amazing. They trained the crap out of that dog. And he was an amazing dog after that. But he died when my daughter, who's 21, almost 22 now, was a little baby. And that was the first word, by the way, my daughter could ever say was Bobo. And that was our first dog, Bobo. And when Bobo died, we had him cremated. Sad as always when your dog passes. And we put him in the front yard. We spread some of the ashes around in his favorite spots in the house and in the outside of the house. And then I took Bobo and buried him in the front yard. And I marked it with it was a heart on a spike. And I put it right down next to him. And it stayed there to the day of the fire. That was still there. So I told my wife, I can't leave Bobo there. They're going to start construction. And when they start construction, they're going to, you know, probably rip that out. And then Bobo's gone forever. And that's not cool. So I finally went back and dug Bobo out and found a ball down there with him. It's all this time later. Bobo's been dead longer than he was alive at this point. He died at 10, got mega esophagus, and we had to put him to sleep. And Sarge, then we had for over 12 years. And then we had a year between Bobo and Sarge, so it's been 13, 14 years since, almost a year now since Sarge has been dead. So it's been about 14 years since Bobo died. And dug him up, and it was all good. The ashes were there, the tin was still, was rusting a little, but I got him up. And found finding the ball that I buried with him, that I forgot I buried with him right next to it, that ripped my heart out. That will kick you right in the nuts, and you'll be like, damn. That's really, God, pets are, especially dogs, they're freaking awesome. They really, really are. I love my dogs, and I miss my dog, Ice. I'm excited I'll see him tomorrow. I brought Ice a toy. I bring him a toy every time I come now because he's a destructo bastard. And he will chew on his toy and it will keep him pacified. It really was like a giant pacifier. He'll lay there and chew that damn thing and just not bother anyone. But so I always bring him a toy. And I gave him one on Friday and it lasted less than 10 minutes. And I think it was a Kong. Like, Kong isn't what it used to be. He has a Kong that I put peanut butter in that he won't destroy because he respects it too much because he knows it's the peanut butter ball. And you call it that, and he knows what that is. But then the other one, it's not a peanut butter ball. It's just a Kong, and he literally chewed the end off of this thick-ass rubber thing, and he did it in like 5 minutes, and I'm like, MF! And I told you this before, if you are going to buy dog toys, especially if you have a gnarly chewer, like a big dog, like all my big dogs are gnarly chewers, but Ice is a piece of work, go to Ross, go to TJ Maxx, go to Marshall's. TJ Maxx and Marshall's are the same company, so they'll have the same stuff, but Ross is really good too, and you can find like really good dog toys for like $5. And at PetSmart, I'm sorry, even on clearance, you're going to get shit's going to be $12. So pet stores are fine, but for dog toys, and Walmart has cheap pet toys, but they're cheap, and there's not one that would last. They don't have a single toy in Walmart that would last more than a minute or two with ice, or even my shepherd, who is funny. She came over today to the apartment real quick before we left to go to Palisades, where we had her. And when we got there, she was no joke. Or when she came in here, she came in and just, there was like, my daughter had some, you know, she's here now, so she had all of her stuff from school, and she had a stuffed animal laying there. It was 2 seconds, and Nova had got up on the counter, pulled that down, and was like, yeah, this is mine. This is mine now. Walking around with it. She didn't shred it. Ice would have shredded it, but she was just walking around with it in her mouth. So, that was fun. My story, let's get to my story, because I got to tell you, here's what it is. Mothers, percentage of mothers, and this is 200,000 women they surveyed in this, who they checked. So 2016, they asked moms, like, how would you say your mental health is? And in 2016, 38% of all new mothers had said, my mental health is great. My mental health is perfect. I'm having a great time. Well, then this goes to 2023 when they did this. Now of new mothers reporting that their mental health is fine is down from 38% to 26%. So it dropped 12% in that time. Most notably, the percentage of mothers rating that their mental health as fair or poor also they had is up also 4%. So of all of that, they say it's the highest in over 8 years. So they check this a lot. And they say so far they have a representative of 63.6% increase from the baseline prevalence of a mental decline in new mothers. So whatever it is, moms, you're going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and maybe the whole world has gone to crap. Maybe that's what it is. Oh boy, I have found. Speaking of the Palisades and fire stuff, it was cool. One of our neighbors came driving down the street, and I talked to her. My wife and I talked to her, and she was telling us how, like, the Army Corps of Engineers, there was that whole scandal, and they were going to help, but they wouldn't. We found out if you had a pool or basement, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't clean it. They'd be like, no, they would just pass it and make you hire a contractor when they were supposed to be helping everyone out, according to the Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, and Mayor Ass, the mayor of Los Angeles. They were supposed to say, yeah, the Army Corps of Engineers, they're going to come, they're going to do it for free, but it was never free. It gets billed back to your insurance policy if you had insurance, and you do pay for it, and it comes off the bottom line of your rebuild. But if you had a pool or a basement, they wouldn't help you, we found out. We also found out today a contractor walked up who worked for Luke Melcher, worked with Luke Melcher, and Melcher's a dude that I often repost his videos. He has really good crap, and he hates Gavin Newsom and Karen Mass, and he just battles with them on social media. And that dude has made himself like the exposer of fraud. He's like the David Horowitz of these fires, man. He even went to Hawaii recently and found that all of the federal money they were using to, remember, they haven't rebuilt Hawaii. Hawaii, that was a year before the Palisades or more than a year before the Palisades. And those houses burned down, and it's very expensive to live in Hawaii, and people couldn't rebuild. So they went in and they took a bunch of government money and they built these. They're less than 800 square feet, little tiny homes. They're basically, what a tiny home, if you know what that is. Basically built these tiny homes for people in Hawaii, for families to move into. And shockingly, this prefab home, a tiny home is usually something that comes from a factory pre-built that you just kind of snap together, put it on a foundation, and voila, there's your tiny house. And they'll last not as long as a regular house, but great investment if you have a little plot of land that would allow you to put up a prefab house. It's much like a trailer, basically, like a trailer park house. Nothing wrong with it, and they are much more affordable. $840,000 per house. They built these neighborhoods. $840,000 per house for like these little 800 square foot houses they put all over Maui. And then he goes there and starts going around and talking to people, and he starts finding that a lot of the houses are empty, so they paid $800,000. And remember, the victims of the fire in Maui, at last known government assistance, they had received $700 each. That was what they got, $700. Then they spent $840,000 for prefab housing, which is should have been about 60, and that's a high guesstimate, but I'm saying 60 because they had to ship it to Hawaii. So the size of those houses should have been about $60,000. They paid $840,000. And then they went around the state of Hawaii and collected homeless people and brought them there to live in them. Not the locals, not the people who had their family homes burned down. Those people are still getting effed in the A, if you will. Right in the A. So the government is shit. And they are doing shitty, shady stuff that needs to come to light. And this guy, Luke, is all over it. He's blasting people out for their BS. And I freaking love it. Love it, love it. Because this fire is insane. And I told you guys on the Friday show about the money that came out of the fire relief concert, $100 million. And they gave it to the Innenberg charity, which immediately takes a 70% fee, which was $70 million of the $100 million. They gave a little bit of money to the Palisades High, a little bit of money to the Shabbat Jewish Center there in the Palisades, and the rest of the money they gave to charities that have nothing to do with the fire, and that was it. They gave it to other charities which also have operational costs. So of $100 million raised for the fire relief back in January, all the celebrities that performed and all that stuff, none of it went to fire victims. Pally High was a fire victim, but they're not a per se a fire victim. They're a LA County school. They had insurance. Really? So that's where we are. It's absolute shit show. And I am talking to, and we talked to them again, one of my neighbors, two doors down from my house, their house did not burn. They had a brand new, beautiful, three-story house. It did not burn. House was fine. And they've told us, they have been told, that it's so toxic inside their house that they have to tear it down and rebuild it. I mean, it's perfect. It's like the day we left the neighborhood, their house is standing there exactly as it was. It doesn't have any sort of visual damage on the outside. Not even their front yard, the plants in their front yard didn't even burn. Like, their place somehow avoided it all, even with no fire department. Remember, the fire department did not come to my neighborhood and did not put a drop of water on jack shit. They didn't even try at all. At all. So, pretty crazy. I have a fire hose now. I do feel better about that. For whatever reason, there was a fire hydrant in my front yard, and since the fire, not at, around the fire, but after the fire, and since all the crap cleaning out the debris, they must have came and tested the hydrant in my front yard, and they left their hose in my front yard, not connected to the fire hydrant, just laying there on the ground. It's mine now. I have it, and I'm not giving it back. That's the least they could give me, is a damn fire hose. So now I know when I move back in and I never evacuate ever, 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 ever again, I will never evacuate my home ever, ever again. I have a fire hose, and I'll go out there and hook up that fire hydrant myself if it has water in it. Thank you, Gavin Newsom. And I will fight the fire in my front yard on my own, because the fire department could give two flying shits about my neighborhood. They were up on top of the hill where the really rich people are, where the Tom Hankses and the Steven Spielbergs were. And they all lost their houses, don't get me wrong, but that's where they were fighting the fire. They let us people down in the lowlands burn. Let them burn! So, that's where we are. I'm going to get up out of here. I hope you guys have a good week. I'm going to be back on Friday with a bonus pod. So, till then, I will talk to you guys later.